Despite its name, the new museum is actually entering middle age this year. It's turning 40. And it's celebrating with a major fall exhibition that fills the three main halls of and floors of the museum. A look at sexual identity in contemporary art and culture called Trigger, Gender as a Tool and a Weapon, featuring the work of over 40 artists in film, video, photography, painting, sculpture, craft, and performance. It's on view at the new museum at 235 Bowery until January 21st. And this weekend, the 2nd and 3rd of December, the museum will be hosting a special program called Who's Afraid of the New Now? 40 artists in dialogue to celebrate the new museum's anniversary. I'm very pleased to welcome Johanna Burton, the exhibition's curator, to our show now, along with Massimiliano Gianni, the museum's artistic director. Hello. And I understand the museum has also gone live on the internet today?
Yes, we launch a new feature that it's available on our website. You can log on and just see people visiting the shows. You can see the exhibition remotely. So everything, we've gone transparent.
What were the goals that Marcia Tucker, the museum's founder, wanted to address when she opened the museum in 1977?
Well, I think they are very much encapsulated in the choice of the name, New Museum, which to some might have appeared back then as an oxymoron or a paradox, you know, a museum that is a place devoted to preserving memory. How can it be new and how can it be an alternative? But it was in this vision of being open and critical and provocative and yet preserving the authority of a museum.
So it could have been called the alternative museum.
I think it grew out of a desire to, in a sense, go beyond definition of what's alternative and what's mainstream, which is also the culture in which we live now.
Was it the first major museum to open in Lower Manhattan, which at the time was a center of artistic production?
Yeah, and believe it or not, we are celebrating also 10 years of our new home on the Bowery.
But you've moved, what, three or four times?
No.
I remember you on Broadway.
The physical space was in Broadway for a long time, from the early 80s. And then 10 years ago, we opened the new home on the Bowery. And when we opened, it was the first museum to be built from the ground up since the Whitney. So it was since the 60s that no museum had been built in Manhattan. And until the new Whitney opened, we were the only one downtown. So that was the part of the vision, to be a museum that is close to where art is made and where artists live.
Was one of the goals to show living artists?
Yeah.
It's kind of like what galleries do, only on a much larger scale.
Well, we are not commercial. People don't come in to sell or to buy, thank God, and hopefully the price tag is not what we are about. We say our mission is new art and new ideas, and yes, it is dedicated to mainly living artists, and it's about the art of today and maybe more importantly, the art of the future.
Johanna, why did you choose the subject of gender for your big show this fall? Is it a return to concerns the museum has been looking into over the years, especially in its early years?
Absolutely. The founding of the museum, as Massimiliano said, was intended to kind of provide a platform for ideas that weren't being actually enabled in other cultural institutions. And a lot of the early shows actually addressed subjectivity and identity from the beginning. And in fact, part of the reason we thought this would be a good match for the 40th anniversary show was that it continued a trajectory of shows like Difference, Bad Girls, Homo Video, and others that directly took up questions of identity as they were evolving in contemporary culture.
Another one was Extended Sensibilities, Homosexual
right.
Presence in Contemporary Art. Have you included any works of artists from those earlier shows into this show?
It's a great question. A couple of artists show up. Greg Bordowitz, for instance, has shown at the new museum, and you know others that have been involved in the museum in various ways. But it's not a historical show in the sense that all of the work is new. In fact, the oldest work is 10 years old. But we wanted to get away from the idea that new ideas are only thought by young people. So it's an intergenerational show that's spanning 27 to 67-year-old artists.
Well, gay and lesbian artists have been making art throughout history, but
absolutely.
Was the show that I mentioned, Extended Sensibilities, the first time that someone actually looked at the aesthetics of artists who identified as gay and lesbian?
It was certainly one of the first. And, you know, interestingly, all of those shows that I built upon, including Extended Sensibilities, were both celebrated but also heavily critiqued, often within the museum itself. And kind of something like Extended Sensibilities got critiqued for its lack of addressing racial difference or even lesbians. It was mostly white gay men involved in that show.
A lot has changed since those early years. We now have legal same-sex marriage, congressional debates over whether students can use transgender bathrooms. There's the TV show Transparent, and what was called the gay community is now LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. But are those new freedoms also coming under attack in the current political climate?
Absolutely. I mean, I think part of the show wants to address what is a kind of longer-term mainstreaming of gay culture and other markers of difference, but also to problematize some of the assumptions that that came along with new rights, including binary gender construction like male and female. So the show addresses sexuality, and it certainly addresses the kind of rights that that are part of the current culture, but it also seeks to go beyond some of those discussions.
Did the process of putting the show together spark debates within the curatorial staff?
What do you think, Moss?
I think so. I think the Joanna was very clear that she wanted the show to engage with younger and contemporary artists, but also to offer a view that was more intergenerational.
Well, some of these artists weren't even born when the museum was founded.
And that's what we are about as an institution. I think the idea of renewal is very much part of our DNA, and so this show was the perfect way to celebrate the anniversary.
I'm speaking with Massimiliano Gianni, the artistic director of the new museum, and with Joanna Burton, who is the curator of the current exhibit, a huge exhibit. She is the Keith Haring Director and Curator of Education and Public Engagement at the museum. The exhibition we're talking about is Trigger, Gender as a Tool and a Weapon, and it runs until January 21st. And in your catalog essay, you write that at first you wanted to leave the page blank with a single line of text, "Please see the show and then let's talk."
Yeah, I mean, it's partially meant to be a provocation, but also I think there's a real exhaustion right now with people feeling that maybe the culture wars have migrated from an easy kind of separation between the left and the right to a lot of internal fighting on the left. And I think while it's really important for us to be having these discussions, it's also really nice to leave some room for people to just enjoy the work and to come to some of their own conclusions.
Well, let's start with the title, Trigger. Gender as a Tool and a Weapon, which seems to imply a kind of challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, partially trigger is a word that everyone can have a response to. You mentioned transgender bathrooms. I think the question of safe spaces and censorship is everywhere in culture. But it's also a really nice way to kind of think about a word that could, on the other hand, talk about radical social change in a productive way.
Some of the works in the show are specifically about sexual identity, but others are abstract or other kinds of work, not obviously relating to the theme of gender.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation lately among artists, for example, about queering abstraction, and that is how to address the tradition and the history of abstract art from the early 20th century until today, and rewrite it or reformulate the assumptions that abstract art is mainly the language of certain white male, slightly macho artists from the early 20th century.
And
until,
it isn't?
Pardon me? And it is
was
a no,
Kandinsky
no,
gay
it's much
after
more,
all.
The great thing about this, our work at the museum, is also how, by being contemporary, we actually revisit the history of art. And I think this is very present in this show, and how younger artists rewrite their past. And so you can be a contemporary museum at the same time be engaged with history through a process of healthy revisionism.
Absolutely. Also, the idea of gender, not as the content or the subject of the show, but a tool or a weapon that can kind of change and challenge.
But, for example, when I look at the work of Robert Rauschenberg or Jasper Johns, I don't think gay artist. I think artist.
Right. I don't think that we would disagree on that front. And that's why I think thinking about gender as a kind of framework or a lens rather than the content of the work is how we like to think about the show.
What are some of the other shows that are going on at the museum right now? You've expanded into the building next door, 231 Bowery, so that you now have what you're calling the South Galleries?
Yeah, we opened two new galleries, which we restore by preserving actually the character of the building next door, which was an old warehouse building. So they look and feel more like lofts. One of the two galleries, all exposed bricks. And in these spaces, we are presenting new commissions and new productions by younger artists. So it's a way also to stay closer to our primary audience, who are artists, and help them produce new work. And we are presenting two exhibitions, one by Khalil Joseph, a video maker who's more known probably for his work with musicians and as a video maker of music videos, and Petri Talilaj, who's an artist from Kosovo, and they are both presenting wonderful installations.
And will you be expanding to the upper floors of that building?
Well, that's a project that we have just started, and we are going to eventually build a new building on the site, but that's something that's going to take a few years.
We mentioned the new museum live that began today, meaning that you put cameras up in all of the galleries. Are you going to keep that going, or is it just for the special celebration?
It's going to run for a month, I believe. And what is also very exciting is that it allows us to broadcast also this program of conversations that we are having on the 2nd and the 3rd. So Saturday and Sunday, the museum is going to be open and free with extended hours from 10 in the morning to 8 in the evening. And we are bringing together 40 artists whose works and exhibitions have transformed the identity of the museum. It's an incredible lineup that ranges from Jeff Koons, who had his first show in 1980 at the new museum, to Ansake and much younger artists like Ragnar Kjartansson, or legends like Caroli Schneemann, Linda Montano, Faith Ringgold. It's really an incredible live history of art, and for 2 days they will be in conversation. Every hour we have two artists in conversations.
20 conversations altogether, but only two. You had to pick which artists would talk with which.
Well, we chose artists whose work has some relation to each other. And so, for example, a conversation like the one between Hans Sack and Carsten Erler will engage with the participation of the public in exhibition making, and what does it mean to involve the audience, for example. I imagine that Koons and George Kondo will talk a lot about the East Village in the 1980s when they were both very young. But we have also very interesting cross-generational conversation like Simon Lee and Lorraine O'Grady. So it's really a way of telling our own history, but by listening to a plurality of voices.
And you're also launching a redesigned digital archive. What's that?
The history of the museum is really fascinating because as a non-collecting institution, we really collect ideas as they are emerging. So the digital archive is the culmination of a lot of work that's been happening over the last decade that brings our history together and makes it available to the public. There's documents, there's videos, there's oral histories. And this was relaunched just this month, and it's part of the 40th anniversary celebration as well. It's a great resource for scholars and just for the public alike.
There's an exhibition on the museum's history called Pursuing the Unpredictable, the New Museum 1977 to 2017.
Yeah, this is on the education's fifth floor gallery, and this is a little bit of a highlight of the incredible and very long legacy of the new museum that gives a little bit of a hint of what you can find on the digital archive. And the title is taken from Marcia Tucker's own writing. It's curated by Alicia Ritson, who's a fellow at the museum.
Now, there's also a catalog called Trigger, Gender as a Tool and a Weapon. I'd imagine it's harder to do a catalog these days when the art is not just photography, painting, sculpture, and craft, but also performance, film, video.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. It's a huge show and a big undertaking, and you still won't see it all if you don't see all the performances, of which there are over a dozen. And in terms of the exhibition catalog, it was a really interesting experiment, actually, for me, in terms of thinking about, I mean, it's not new to curators, but how to put together a catalog that both gives an idea of what the show is and allows for some of that to come together at the last minute. So many of the works were new, and we didn't see a few of them until they were actually in the galleries themselves.
And you said that this weekend The admission will be free.
Yes, it's we extend the hours, so 10 hours every day from 10 to 8. And all the shows will be open for free. We're also very proud to have restaged a legendary piece by Bruce Nauman. Bruce Nauman was an artist who was very close to Marsha Tucker, the founder of the New Museum. She included him in the legendary show Anti-Illusions at the Whitney. She gave him the first museum show, and he exhibited at the New Museum in 1987. And in that occasion, he created this piece called No, No New Museum, which is part of his clown torture series. And it consists in a video of a clown that is just jumping up and down in this white room, and he screams, no, 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 no. It reminds me of my child, and probably reminds me also of what I am really inside. And it's now being reinstalled in the window as it was presented in 87.
Because when you were on Broadway, the window was really important. People would walk by and see part of the exhibit just in the window. The window was
and we restarted the series in the building next door. Now we also have a wonderful piece by Alex Dacorte, who installed the sign of a Wawa diner. So it's this image of a ever-changing Bowery. And so we are continuing with this tradition of the windows. And Justin Vivian Bond is also performing in the window.
And we are listing information about the various events that could be found. They could be found on our show page at wmyc.org/Lopate. My great thanks to Massimiliano Gioni, the artistic director of the New Museum, and Johanna Burton, the Keith Haring Director and Curator of Education and Public Engagement at the museum, which is located at 235 Bowery.